Greet each one in the name of Jesus this morning. Good to be gathered in the house of God again today and to hear the discussions that we did. Enjoyed that very much. Appreciate also prayer this morning. I feel the need of that as I stand here this morning to share a message. This morning I like to share a story with you that I read quite a while ago in 2 Kings chapter 7, and I'd like to read that story here at the beginning, and my desire today is to for us to glean some parallels from this story in the Old Testament setting here, that lessons that we could learn that would help us in the glad tidings that we have in sharing that with other people. This story is about four lepers that were on the outside of the city of Samaria. And under this, at this time, the Syrian army had besieged the city of Samaria. And there was a great famine in the city. There wasn't food to eat, at least what we would call edible food anyway. They were eating donkey's heads, and it got so bad that a couple women boiled their sons to eat. And it was a very great famine in the land, and these four lepers were on the outside of the city, of course, like they were supposed to be. They were not allowed inside. They were unclean. And so that's a little bit the background of it. And I just titled the message, Lessons from the Life of the Lepers. And there are some things that they did that I would like for us to consider and draw lessons from that will help us in the things that the Christian finds. Begin by reading 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3, and read to verse 11. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we'll enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, but if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were." And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. We'll stop reading there, but if we would read on, the report was met with some skepticism, and probably rightfully so, because they were suspicioning an ambush if they would go and check it out. But they did go and they checked it out, and the leper's story was true. And there was deliverance brought to the city of Samaria because of this. In this passage, there are things that I think we can glean. See, these lepers brought back to the city a message of hope. And we think of the lepers as maybe being the ones that are the most unlikely to bring a message of hope. They were the ones that were in need of a lot of help themselves. And yet, because of God's divine intervention in their life, they were able to pass on a blessing that helped the city of Samaria. We are similar to the lepers in several ways. And I want to look at some of this, and I'd like for it to inspire us to be as those lepers in the good things that we have received in life, the message of salvation, to where we have opportunity to pass that on to other people. And there are different ways that come to us. In raising our families is one, in relating as brothers and sisters in the church, and as young people, and also neighbors and co-workers and things like that, there are opportunities we have. There's also an opportunity as a church to spread the word and to take up the challenge of Jesus' command to go ye into all the country and spread the gospel. And there are different ways that that can be done. But wherever our opportunity is, to take the courage and share it. There are many today in a spiritual famine. Many that have lost hope in God. And there's probably those that are closer to us than those that are acquainted to us that are in this category, possibly more so than what we realize sometimes. We get the CAM billboard hotline, and I'm just amazed at how over and over again in those prayer requests that the hopelessness of the individuals that are calling, how that comes through again and again, just the despair, the darkness, the reaching out, the wanting something for fulfillment, and the many times they're contemplating suicide. And I wonder, you know, if we were to really understand those, our neighbors and so on, if that wouldn't be the case, more so than what we think sometimes. I have five lessons that I want to look at, compare this to. Maybe before we look at that, I wasn't sure when to read this, but there's Ephesians chapter 3. I want to read this just to give a New Testament application to the story of the lepers. And maybe as we read Ephesians chapter 3, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, we can be thinking about ourselves being delivered and our responsibility in sharing with others. And the message, the riches that Christ has given to us at our disposal, even as the lepers found them there in the camp. Ephesians 3, I'll begin reading in verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. That's referring back to verse 3, how he says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. In verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And we could relate that to us being leprous. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And there again, there's a comparison between the less than the least of all saints being as those lepers found themselves, the situation they found themselves in, but they were given the riches that could profit the city of Samaria. So is given to us the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. But here in this passage, Apostle Paul is reflecting on the unsearchable riches of Christ and the exceeding abundance of that. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The riches that he talks about, he says, are by his Spirit in the inner man. And the riches that the lepers found were for the physical good of the city of Samaria and for themselves. But the riches for us today is for our inner man, for our spirit and for our heart and for our eternal future. And this verse 20, where it says he was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, reminded me of the beginning verses in 2 Kings 7, where Elisha said that a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." God is able to do more than we think he is able to do. And he did this very thing. He fulfilled that prophecy. But moving on now, just expanding these thoughts into some lessons I'd like to look at. And I talked about the famine already, but I'd like to look at this famine, the lesson we can learn from the famine in the land. As I said before, this was because of a siege that Syrian king Ben-Hadad had on the city. People were very desperate for anything to eat. But that's where the lepers found themselves, at the gate of a city where there was a famine inside the city. They were lepers, and they had to weigh their consequences. But isn't there a spiritual famine today as well? Not a famine of food, but rather a famine of godliness and righteousness. There's a lack of that. People are facing the lack of moral uprightness and are practicing the unthinkable lifestyle seeking satisfaction. You know, it was unthinkable, I believe, before for to consider eating one's own children. But yet in our famine, in the land that we face in, that we live in, what used to be unthinkable is now being practiced and is now being done. And it is a famine of godliness and righteousness. There's such a void in society that people are turning to things that before weren't considered acceptable. Parents sacrificing their children so they can survive this modern lifestyle. There's a great need for God. People are desperate for something to fill the void in their life. They're desperate for even as the ones in the city of Samaria were desperate for food. I believe the famine in our land is people are desperate. And again, I'm reminded of that by the phone calls that come to the billboard evangelism. Desperate people calling for help. Another lesson that I'd like to learn here is that they were outcasts from the city. These lepers, these four lepers, because of their leprosy, were outcasts. They were outside of the city and were not allowed inside. And spiritually, that is where we find ourselves, outside of the kingdom of God, outside of the walls of the goodness of God, of the mercy, of the forgiveness of sins, with the leprosy of sin in our life. We are unfit to be inside the walls of Christ's kingdom. Our spiritual condition deemed us unclean, and we are unable to mingle with the godly or with God's people because spiritually mingle and understand because of our spiritual condition. Another lesson, through God's intervention, these lepers' needs were met. Here were four lepers that were starving to death. Like I said, they were outcast. They were not able to help themselves. They were there to fend for themselves. And especially a time of famine. And you can imagine their joy of coming to the Syrian army that day and finding the necessity of life at their disposal. The fulfillment of enough food to eat, the fulfillment of something to wear. They took their rags of clothes off and they put on probably the king's robes and the army's robes that were there. They were rescued from death for a while, at least. They had all they could eat, all they could drink and wear at their disposal. And you know, these men also are a picture of the redeemed sinner. Those who have been brought out of death into life through provisions beyond what they themselves could provide. We have found the true riches of Christ. And it's not provisions we have provided, but it's because of Christ, God's intervention in our life that we can enjoy the riches of Christ. There is joy in passing from death into life. We have abundant amounts of riches, enough for everyone, enough that we can share with others. Ephesians 2, verse 4 through 7 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You know, in the morning, the lepers were dressed in rags. I'm not sure exactly when they found this, but by the time they found the city, they were dressed in the finest of robes, I believe. They had taken their rags off and took on the robes. So it is for us who have found salvation, who come to the Lord. Those who have received salvation, we have traded our rags for His robes. And Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." In Isaiah 61 verse 10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." So there, the parallel between these lepers trading their rags for robes, and the Christian doing the same for our own righteousness as being as filthy rags, and taking on the holiness of God as the robes of righteousness. Another lesson is that through the needs being met, they wanted to meet others' needs. They were not only concerned about themselves. When these men realized that their own blessing was in jeopardy if they didn't share the good news, it moved them to action. And that's true of us as well. You know, as they considered what they had found that day, a whole camp at their disposal for them to enjoy, they felt like it was wrong for them to just, the four lepers, try to spoil that whole thing themselves and take it to themselves. But rather, here is something that can meet the need of other people. And so they said, "We do not well." Today is a day of glad tidings. And they went and they shared that with the city of Samaria. We who are saved need to remember that the blessings of the Lord we enjoy were not given to us simply for our own blessing. Yes, it is. It's for our own good, our salvation. But God has blessed us so that we may share that blessing with other people, with those around us. There's others. We talked about comforters this morning, and I enjoyed that. There's many wrong ways to comfort, where we turn comfort into miserableness. But yet it is the Christian's responsibility to share the comfort of God's word with other people. It is even true of the Christian that our own blessing will come in jeopardy if we only hoard it to ourselves, if we don't share it with others. We need to be willing to do that. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The words of Jesus. Others needed what these lepers had, and then they were willing to share. They wanted others to be helped even as they were helped, and they focused on instead of taking it to themselves, sharing it with other people. And that's a lesson where we can consider this morning. Another lesson that I'd like to consider is that although their message was rejected at first, they still shared what they knew. I didn't read those verses following verse 11, but you can find that there was met with some suspicion at first. But the urgency of their message probably convinced the king's household that there was something to it. And the manner that they were there, possibly, it doesn't say that, maybe the robes they were wearing or the things that they Their countenance that was changed when they brought back this message was possibly different. And so that helped convince them that there was truth to what they were bringing. For the Christian today, isn't that true as well, that the countenance and the the manner, the life change that comes upon an individual, it convinces others that what the message does to a person is true. Possibly they were well fed. They had more energy. Their countenance was peaceful, and that is convincing to other people. When we spread the gospel, are we able to, because of being fed from the Word of God and dressed in His righteousness, do we display the riches of His grace? Are we willing to do as the lepers did in sharing the good news with other people? Is it something that grips our heart in the message that we have, as it did with the lepers, that we have glad tidings, and wherever I have opportunity, I will share with other people? I was impressed in Ephesians 3, in verse 6. It says here that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. That we are of the same, we're fellow heirs and of the same body. Now we can be inside the city, inside the kingdom of God, and not only dressed, not only changed our rags to robes, but also the leprosy itself is healed. It is by the blood of Christ, our sin is forgiven, and we are no longer lepers. We are true children of God. And verse 7 of Ephesians 3, he says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the grace of God, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power." You know, in a sense, this was Paul writing, but in a sense, I believe that is something for us all to consider. Because of what we have received, we are responsible for what we share. And in a sense, we are all made a minister of the good tidings. And for some, there's greater opportunity or different opportunities that we share this message to other people. Verse 9, the Apostle Paul says he wants to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That was his desire. The Apostle Paul was delivered from his leprosy, his sin. And his desire was for all men to see what the fellowship of the mystery was. And verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. And I'd like to consider the way that we are convinced. These lepers were convinced that what they had, other people needed. And are we convinced that the Scriptures, the plan of salvation, will meet the needs of others, those around us? Well, I thought of a few ways where, just in closing here, of maybe just some challenges for us to consider where we can share this message. And of course, like I said at the beginning, I believe it starts with us in our homes, in our families, in our church. But I believe it goes beyond that. Could I be doing more to spread the gospel to others? And if I am not doing more, did I really get a glimpse of the riches of His glory, of the riches of His grace? Or do I understand the leprous condition I'm in? Am I personally doing what God wants me to do in telling the glad tidings? You know, I think about the the opportunities of the homeless under the bridge in Spokane. I've thought about that already. You know, could we be reaching out to those kinds of people? You know, Jesus in his in his ministry on earth, it was primarily focused to the poor and the downcast, and that's one area I thought about. The elderly people, we minister to them. Are we somehow encouraging them and putting the plan of salvation before them? I'm not saying we aren't. I'm just, are we doing what we can? Personal opportunities, areas where I need to grow. I feel like I'm speaking to myself, but you know, just a word in our work. A lot of times people take notice that our talk is different than what normal people are. Can we explain why that is? Are we willing to share the gospel message with other people? Well, I trust this morning as we consider our life as one of the lepers that we can be inspired to unashamedly tell the glad tidings to those around us and to other people. And God will give opportunity. And like I said before, it's also important to do it on everyday level with those we are close to. But I believe God also wants us to take the opportunities for those that are our neighbors and so on, those that are around us. Let's kneel together for prayer.